Welcome to From Everywhere to Everywhere by OMF New Zealand. In our lives, sometimes it can be hard to see how God is working. This is a podcast about His faithfulness, told to you through the lives of people who have been with Him in the depths of the valley and on the heights of the mountaintop. Our prayer is that you'll be encouraged by these stories and empowered to live lives surrendered to God, knowing that He can always be trusted. Kia ora, I'm Jessie Chang, your host for this episode. Today we're looking at God's faithfulness when it comes to loneliness and longing. As a Christian, and often even more so for someone who works in ministry, we can find ourselves in situations that are isolating, where we are in a great need of a friend. Here are some stories told by OMF workers about trusting God when it felt like they were alone.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Ben Kong. I served with OMF in beginning in 1974 in southern Thailand.
Can you tell me a time in all those years that you've been serving and all of that, where you really felt God's faithfulness when it came to a season of loneliness or of longing?
I think for me, personally, I was so involved in the lives of the people that I worked with. I think looking back now, it was kind of like more of a danger because it kind of consumed me. And I'm glad that Elspeth was there to keep a balance, not only for myself, but for the whole family. And so she was more the person that encouraged us to come home. And I think personally for me, when you were so involved in what you were doing, sometimes it's hard to see what's actually happening in your own life. And I think I suppose I felt like, you know, how I mean, felt like if you're not there, nothing's going to happen. But actually, everything happened when you were not there.
Yeah.
Because, 4 years ago, we went back to the opening of the new church in Patani. And the local Christians have done a marvelous job of, continuing on and putting up an amazing building for the church to continue on in there in Patani. I'm grateful for the leaders of the mission. At that time, it was Robert Aaron, who then encouraged us or decided for us that we should leave church work, church planting, and go and do the supervising of the building of the new OMF holiday home in Prajua, Prajua. So that was a kind of transition for us to do something that's totally different before we came home, which, looking back, has been a great help for me personally.
And so once you did move back to New Zealand, what was that process like?
I think the thing I remembered most of all, coming back to New Zealand, we didn't have any official debriefing, although the people at the church, the missions council at our church, tried to help us. However, one of the things I clearly remember, one of the gentlemen in the missions council, I think it was in the missions council, told me, just forget about Thailand. And that was the worst thing that you could have, as far as I was concerned, to tell me, just forget about Thailand, because I couldn't forget Thailand. Mm. It was part and parcel of my life in so many ways. However, God provided jobs that I could do after I had spent a year at the Papanui Baptist Church, helping the Papanui, and had a job at a local Christian factory just around the, not very far from where we lived. And then I think about a couple of years after that, God opened the doors for us to start working with the Thai students. So that was a great help.
So what was that, working with the Thai students, what was that?
Well, there was a English language school which was out at New Brighton, owned by a Christian family, and they'd heard about us. I'm not sure how they heard about us. Anyway, he invited me to come along as an interpreter for the Thai student group that came to the school. And so I used to go over, and mostly during the Thai summer month, which was in April, which year, a lot of the Thai groups would come over. And so I'd go over and do the orientation in Thai for the group that would come. So through that contact, I met a lot of course, the Thai students and the agents. And from then on, I was also invited by quite a few of the high schools around Christchurch to go and do troubleshooting for them, because some parents who came here who didn't speak English, so I used to go and interpret for them, and sometimes to help with the school's international deans with the Thai students who were not behaving so well in the schools. So that kind of gave me that contact within the schools. But it wasn't something that we were kind of looking for.
Yeah.
They came looking for us. So
God provided.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly right. But the thing also, the company that I work with is called Verkerk, Dutch Christian Family.
Mm-hmm.
They were very generous in that they would let me go and do all these things, even though during my working hours at the factory. They would let me go to the schools or go, so I was very, very grateful for that.
And so, you know, when you came home to New Zealand and, you know, you said your heart was still very much in Thailand, what was that process like? Was it like a bit of a grieving process almost?
I think to be honest, at that time when this gentleman told me, forget about Thailand, that was the most hurtful time for me. And yes, I guess looking back now, it was a grieving time. To be told that, you know, just forget about Thailand, which I couldn't. And we did go and have some professional counseling. But it was so expensive. I think we went for maybe one or two counseling, and then we decided to stop because we didn't have a lot of money at that time. But as I said, all those other work involving be part of the Thai families and was helpful in many ways. And of course, through those years as well, we were able to, if I remember correctly, we took about three groups from our church to do short-term mission, both in Thailand as well as in Cambodia.
So what did you learn about God in that season?
One of the biggest lessons that we learned was God was faithful.
Mm.
When I finished helping at Papua New Baptist Church, the very weekend, my daughter was on the bus with her friend, Laura, and they were talking, and Melanie, my daughter, was telling, if I remember the story right, telling Laura, oh, my dad is looking for a job, and Laura said, oh, I'll tell my dad, he may have a job for your dad. So Laura's dad is called Peter Verkerk.
Mm-hmm.
So on Sunday evening, Peter calls us at our home and says, Ben, my daughter Laura told me that you are looking for a job. Would you like to get a job? I said, wow, this is amazing. And so I said, yes, I'm looking for a job. And he said, well, come along on Monday morning. So the factory is just like no more than 10 minutes from around our house. So I biked along there. And lo and behold, he said, well, if you want the job, we'll put you in the dispatch department. And there in the dispatch department are two retired missionaries from SIM. Mm-hmm. One worked in Pakistan and the other gentleman worked in Africa. Mm. So it was lovely to, I said, yeah, I tried for a day. We packing salamis and bacon and ham and everything. So I took the job on and it was wonderful to be working with two other ex-missionaries. Mm. There were a lot of Christians in the factory, but it was a good time working there. So that was really, God's faithfulness from moving from ending up at Papua New Baptist and getting a job straight away. Mm. I think, looking back, there was only always that longing to be back in Thailand. But I think, just as I said, God provided a way. I mean, just working with those two other missionaries was a great opportunity to share about with them about my experience and listening to them about their experiencing of what they've done in the different countries that they served in. So in a gentle way, I looking back now, I know that God had it all planned out.
He gave you some friends.
Yes, he gave us some friends were in the same kind of line of work that I used to be part of. So it kind of filled the void, I suppose, in my life. Mm. And it was a busy time. Although I was working, as I said before, I was also involved with the students and a lot of high school. And eventually, Peter himself said, "Ben, you should go out and do this full time." I was scared to do it and look after international students. Mm. So because we were so busy with Thai students, kind of here in New Zealand in Christchurch, I think pining for the Thailand was sort of was in the background, I suppose, wasn't so hard at that time. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Ruth, and I've been involved with OMF for the last 30 years or so. Started off in Japan and then had a couple of years in Singapore before moving over to the Philippines, where I'm based currently, but back here in New Zealand for a time of home assignment.
Cool. Can you tell me a time where you really felt God's faithfulness when it came to a season of loneliness or of longing?
Mm. Yeah, there's probably been a few different times that fits. Perhaps I'll start with the more recent times in the Philippines. Having lived in two other countries before getting there, I thought it's going to be harder to make friends. It's another culture. I don't know how long I'm staying. Do I want to make friends? It can be a hassle.
Mm.
But that, of course, leads you to be lonely because you're not connecting. And so I realized that actually, yeah, I do need to connect with people. And so I was able to get involved with a Bible study group in my church.
Mm-hmm.
And although they were a group of local people that have been meeting together for years, they were also very welcoming of new people joining their group. And so I got to know them. And COVID was one of the things that actually really helped our group.
Mm-hmm.
As a general rule, they would always say they won't start the Bible study unless four people are there. They have a quorum that they have to meet in order to have the study. And sometimes we'd get it, sometimes we wouldn't. So we'd never really know if we'd be having a Bible study that night. But with COVID and everyone being stuck at home, we were able to meet online. And so those who had young families that couldn't usually get out in the evening, people who had worked late, or people who had medical conditions, suddenly they could join us pretty much every week. And so we had more of us attending during COVID than before COVID.
Right, okay.
Because, people were isolating at home, and some of them literally never went out of their home during COVID. And so they found the time of us meeting together online to be a real oasis. And so we decided that even if the person who was due to lead that night, because we would rotate leading the group, even if they weren't going to be able to leave because of work commitments or stuff happening in their family, we would say, well, let's still meet and we'll just share and pray for one another. And so we had some really deep times of sharing and praying for one another. You know, invariably, those nights would be one person who was going through a really tough time. So we just gave them the open floor, let them share to their heart's content, and then we'd all go around and really bathe their situation in prayer. So that was a really precious time that could have been really lonely, but God took it and used it to deepen our relationships. Mm. So, yeah, I praise him for that.
Yeah. And so, you know, in that kind of situation, what was the lesson that you took away from that?
I think the takeaway lesson is that even when I wasn't feeling up to joining, I would still want to join because I knew that by the end of the evening, we would all be encouraged by being able to share and reflect and pray together. So yeah, it was like, oh, I really can't be bothered, I just want to go to sleep, but I would join anyway. And there was a time where I actually kind of pretty much went nodded off to sleep before we finished, because they're all late night people and I'm not.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And we only start at 8 o'clock if we start on time, and so it would, you know, by 10:30 I'm kind of, you know, and so I would just fade out. But I would still have that sense of, yes, God has ministered to me because of this group and because I made the effort to just type in the numbers to get into the Zoom room. It's not that difficult, but sometimes you didn't want to. But when you did, I don't know if we still use that saying to get blessed out of your socks, because we don't have our socks on in the Philippines, it's too hot. But, you know, you just knew that you were going to have a good time of sharing together with fellow believers in Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. And you mentioned how when you first came to the Philippines, mm-hmm. you weren't sure if you mm-hmm. really wanted to establish those relationships.
That's right.
And stuff.
Yeah.
How did that process work, and how did God lead you to a point where you decided, actually, I do need relationships?
Yeah, I don't know that I could actually pinpoint it, but there was one specific person in that group. Perhaps a little background: the church I attend has three very unique, very distinct congregations.
Okay.
And she and I attended the same one. Our focus is more the students. We meet on a university campus, and so our focus is the students. But she's a graduate, single lady, and we had just clicked, and so I had got to know her. And she has a heart for mission, she has a heart for the students, and she's also very good at welcoming people. So it was pretty easy to connect with her. And through her just getting connected with the Bible study group, it just kind of naturally evolved, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say that there was any, you know, I guess I knew that for meeting needs of friendship and companionship and that kind of thing, I didn't want it to just be my colleagues that are from the various different countries. You know, missionary life is one where there's people coming, there's people going, and you build strong relationships, and they disappear, and they come back, and they go again,
mm-hmm.
and new people come, and some don't come back, and it's you get to a point where it's like, ah, I'm done with that. But it's you need it, but you're done with it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Okay, yeah.
And so there was a kind of reluctance there to develop those relationships. Although I have, don't get me wrong there, I have actually developed those relationships, and there's still some good, strong friendships amongst that community.
Yeah.
But I also wanted to develop relationships within the local community, the people who weren't going to disappear off, you know, every 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
Okay. And that was where the Bible study group at church really fitted that well. Because, yeah, they're local people, and they've given me some amazing insights into culture, into, you know, just sharing their life experiences and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've got inside information as to what's happening in some government departments and what's happening in the university context where our church is based, simply because of the relationships in that group,
mm-hmm.
Things that would never have happened otherwise. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
What's your advice to people trying to navigate loneliness or feelings of longing to be in a situation other than what they're currently in?
Yeah. I think first thing would be connect with those around you. I mean, we always say it's good to have a friend who's within your mission group, your the group or the team that you're working with, to have a friend from the local community that you're reaching out to, and to have a friend, if you can, with someone from another organization. So someone who still understands the cross-cultural stuff, but they might not have the same understanding of what's happening. You know, sometimes you need to talk with someone completely out of your context. And so to be able to talk about a mission struggle with someone who's in a different mission, you can share more openly with them and with you. And so it gives you three very different types of relationship there's things that you can't share with your immediate colleague because it's about them or because it's about your boss or something
So
you can't share it with them. But if you've got someone over here who understands cross-cultural stuff, you can say, hey, can you really pray for me for this?
Mm-hmm.
And they get it because they've probably been through something similar or seen it happen. And then there's different issues where you would far rather talk with your local colleague because they're going to give you insight into the culture that you might be missing and that might help you get through whatever it is you're facing. So having each of those kind of relationships in place gives you a good starting point for a solid kind of foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you still want to have a connection with folk back home that are praying for you.
Mm.
Like I have my prayer support team, but I also have just a smaller group of people that when something's really tough that I don't want to tell absolutely everyone, I can say, look, hey, I'm just writing to you five people, say, about this particular issue that I want special prayer for, but I can't say it more widely.
Yeah.
So that's good too. I guess in terms of giving advice, particularly these days with all the social media and goodness knows how many different chatting apps and stuff there are out there now, it can be very easy when you leave one place and go to another to stay fully connected to the place you've left. And so you're still chatting every day with your friends there and reading all their posts and viewing their pictures. And you can still do that because technology today lets you do it. But it's probably wise to think, right, how much of that time could I have been investing in my local relationships in the place where I am now? And so to try and strike a balance so that you're not still living in the place where you aren't anymore.
Yeah,
I've seen colleagues who spend their whole time, you know, constantly connecting back to their home country. And it's like, well, actually, if you were, you know, we're sitting at the table, but you're still on your chat groups back home. If you would just join in our conversation here, we could actually have a conversation here instead of everyone just doing their stuff on their phone.
Because I guess that exacerbates that feeling of longing and loneliness.
It does. Yeah. It does. I mean, I'm one of those oldies who went out in the days before we had our own personal computers and cell phone was unheard of. And so mail would take 3 weeks to get there.
Mm.
And so in a sense, I consider it fortunate because I had to leave home at home and adjust to my new country and build relationships there, and so that probably helped. Whereas today you can take everything with you and you're still as connected as you were when you were there. So I recognize that it's a lot harder for people these days, and the expectations have changed as well, because just as people, you know, back then when it was all pen and paper sent by post, you knew you weren't going to hear from someone. Even if my grandmother wrote me a letter today, she knew I wouldn't get it for 3 weeks and it'd be another 3 weeks before she got a reply. Whereas today's, you know, using that grandparent example, you can click the button on WhatsApp and you're connected to grandma now. And so it's a lot harder both for you and for grandma to realise that actually that's not necessarily helpful for you adjusting into your new place.
My name's Helen Wills, come from Christchurch. I did have some overseas experience before I went with OMF. I worked with volunteer service abroad, and that was really good as an introduction. And then I eventually went to work in South Thailand. At that time we had a hospital, smallish hospital, 50 beds at Saibri. and I went as the pharmacist there. And then after 6 or 7 years, the hospital was closed because we didn't have enough doctors to fill in. And I got moved up to Manurim, which was in central Thailand. So I worked there for another 6 years and then went home, looked after my parents or helped with my parents for another 13 years. And then I went back again and back to Manurim again. And soon after that, that hospital closed down. So I stopped being a pharmacist and went into the hospitality type of thing mostly, except for a year and a half when I worked filling in for missionaries who were home on assignment, so I could be a companion to the other half of those two.
So can you tell me about how God has been faithful to you in times of loneliness?
Mostly it's been because working in hospital situations, and well, you know, you're in a language group for studying language, and then I was in a hospital with the compound, the other missionaries there, and then the other hospital I went to was mostly Thai friends.
And so mostly it was communal?
Yes. Right. And even since I've come home, I was looking after my parents. And then eventually when I came home to retire, I looked after my dad when he died. I thought, how am I going to cope living on my own? And I was living out of Christchurch, about half an hour's drive out of Christchurch, Diamond Harbour. And I'd had one experience living on my own before, and I'd got depressed at that time. And so I was wondering how it would work out. And I eventually got a job at Living Springs, which is a Christian camp and conference centre halfway between Christchurch and where I was living. So it was great from that point of view, but also it meant living in for over the weekends, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So I got a taste of living on my own, balanced with still being in community. It was wonderful, just the way God helped me make that transition.
Yeah, that was really God's provision.
Yes.
There.
And now I live in a retirement village, and I've got a reputation of knowing everybody and walking around the place all the time. But that said, I had that experience in Saltwater Village after where we were after the tsunami
in Thailand.
Yeah. And just two missionaries together in a village or in an area, and realizing that, especially if that other person was quite a different
had a different personality,
background and personality, that you could be very lonely, especially on your days off. Yes. And the Lord did help out in that situation too, by sending a South Asia girl over to work with us too. But yeah, it could be a very lonely situation when your day's off, the only people you've got to mix with are the people that you're working with as in terms of discipling and that sort of thing. And it's still completely in the other culture, not going back to your own culture for that time off. So I learned to appreciate that.
So in those, days and that went into weeks that, you know, you just felt like you didn't have a friend. How did you navigate that?
I can't quite remember. I just remember that it was very lonely. I mean, you can start off, you start off reading books or doing things like that, but I'm the sort of, I've discovered I was a personality that liked to be doing things with other people.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter whether it was chopping down bamboo with my previous, the person I was with previously, or what it was. It was just, I do love to be with people.
Do you remember you're asking God for a friend?
Yeah, I'm sure I did. There was a conference that year, and the whole team conference was a New Zealander came over as a speaker. And she came and stayed with us for a wee while.
Great, okay.
And she could see the situation, and she encouraged me.
And what was it like, you know, before you went overseas to do ministry? Was marriage on the cards, or did you ever want to get married?
Well, I think every girl wants to get married. But I didn't have the confidence that I would ever get married.
Mm.
But on the other hand, I knew that the chances would go way down if I was going overseas. But then that shouldn't be a problem to God, because there's only one person you're going to marry anyway, and that's God's business. Mm. But I did think it would be nice to have a romance that I could look back on, and I thought that would be something that would help me through. But it wasn't a good idea at all. It just made it harder.
Right.
And I often think that that's something that people should be warned about.
Not to just go into relationships.
Yeah. To be able to just leave it with the Lord and keep yourself busy over the, just those times.
Do you feel like a lot of people struggle with being alone?
Yes. I've come across it quite a few times.
Mm. What do you think is the issue in our culture with just being okay by yourself?
You just need to live one day at a time. Mm. And not try and fix the problem yourself. Just leave it in the Lord's hands.
Right.
Yes. Mm. It's His problem.
Yeah.
And He knows, like He did with me, keeping me in community right through. He knew how to look after my situation. Mm.
So what would you say to, I know, perhaps young people who struggle with loneliness and maybe are scared to be alone, and that's what's stopping them from not just missions but ministry work in general?
I think you just have to have the confidence that God has a plan for your life and leave it in His hands. Otherwise you're going to complicate things and you're going to get off track.
Mm.
Mm. And I sometimes think, what are you doing with your thoughts? You can waste an awful lot of time thinking about or fantasizing.
Yes. Yeah.
And all that time that God could have been using you to think about needs of other people and things like that.
Helen says Philippians chapter 2 verse 13 was a verse that held great comfort for her during those lonely times. It reads, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure." She says the verse reminds her to ask God to change her heart and to seek after God's will instead of her own. This episode of From Everywhere to Everywhere was brought to you by OMF New Zealand. Our vision is to see God's people from Aotearoa engaged in mission among East Asia's billions. If any of the stories today resonated with you, or you'd like to find out more about OMF New Zealand, please visit our website omf.org/NZ. We're also on Instagram and Facebook, and we'd love to hear from you.